I wanted to also tell you, the westbound corridor of I-90 is a little different from our other sections of the roadway, because typically we have a median that's out there already. You know, we have shoulders that are built, we have a barrier wall down the middle of the road. We're not anticipating that we're going to have these issues when we go into the eastern portion of the I-90 corridor, so it's kind of unique to the western portion of the corridor, where all that's out there today is poor soil in the median that we have to work on and we have to remove and we have to replace. So we're not going to have that significant amount of work when we go to the other sections of our system.
Can I ask one other question? Yeah. Back on slide 5, do I understand 50% of the work is done?
So we rebuilt all the eastbound lanes and one of the shoulders. Now we have to do the westbound lanes.
Okay,
I think that's the basic.
Okay.
We're halfway there.
But how does the median fit into that calculation?
So the median, you know,
50% of the road work is done, and 50% of the road work remains, and then there's the median, or is that such a small proportion?
We've done a lot of the work on the median already, so we feel like we're actually at the 50% mark right now.
Okay.
It would have to include the median also. It's all part of the same corridor improvement.
So we're just delaying the 50% of the median to, we're
going to
do the road work first and then come back and do the median.
Yeah, the basic concept is, I think we're going to leave off pouring the new wall in the median and putting on all the new light poles, and we're going to leave the temporary barrier wall that we have deployed out there for a little bit longer so that we can move on and start rebuilding the pavement and deliver, you know, that major portion of the improvement, and then come back and do the barrier wall and the lighting. So we're just resequencing it so that maybe the less critical items of the improvement are coming at the end instead of the most critical items, which would be the pavement and the striping for that pavement.
You said 50% of the east side is complete?
No, 100% of the east side is done.
So 100% from where to where?
Eastbound.
Oh, yes, sorry.
We have to,
Okay, so we're working.
Areas you're talking about.
Okay, so I'm talking completely about the western corridor in I-90, mm-hmm. and that's from the Elgin Toll Plaza all the way out to the Cherry Valley Interchange. Mm-hmm. It's a 37-mile section. Last year, we were successful in rebuilding and widening 37 eastbound lanes. We went from 2 lanes to 3 lanes in the eastbound direction. So then this year, we have to complete the median work, which we started. We actually started that last year. It's just that we weren't as productive as we would have liked to have been. And then we're going to complete the new westbound lanes. So we're going to rip out the existing 2 lanes in each direction and replace it with 3 lanes. So by the end of this year, or we're actually shooting for like October, November, we plan to have 3 new lanes available to the public in both the eastbound and the westbound direction.
So because we added the 3rd lane last year on the eastbound section, and traffic, I assume, is going to be from the eastbound is going to be over sharing those 3 lanes.
You're correct.
It'll be better for customers because
you're correct.
Being down to 2 lanes, they'll now have 3 lanes to be.
And they'll have brand new driving surface,
yes.
Instead of, you know, what was out there was, I think, the best that we could do at the time, but was the older, you know,
yeah.
pavement with, you know, we had gone out and done some shoulder work, but it sometimes feels uneven to people, or, you know, people can tell that they're driving on something that is a shoulder versus...
This is where my in-laws drive, so I need all the argument.
Yeah.
This is better than it was last year, or that it ever was in the past, or something.
So you're absolutely correct. Everything you described is what the customer is going to see this year. In fact, I did a presentation yesterday, and someone came up to me afterwards, and he goes, when I drive on the tollway system, I can tell it even if I have my eyes closed. So hopefully he's not doing both at the same time. But, you know, it is, our customers this year, while they're all going to be shifted onto one side of the road, the new eastbound lanes, they are going to be driving on brand new pavement there, which should be an improvement over last year, where they had the... Some of the lanes were using the shoulders, and some of them were on the existing pavement, which wasn't in great shape. So, you know, we're proceeding with that. That's still our plan. And they will see, you know, some level of improvement.
Thank
On the driving surface. So we're still pushing to get fully on top of these weather delays that we've incurred. Our goal is to try to have a plan fully finalized and everything settled by May so that we can turn the contractors loose. I mean, the contractors aren't waiting right now. They're proceeding very aggressively with the work out there. If you've driven through the corridor, you can see how many people are out there working on any given day. There could be some additional authorizations to proceed or extra work or change orders coming to the board over the next couple of months, and we'll be bringing those individually. We are going to be aggressively monitoring these schedules and following up on these recovery efforts to make sure the work's getting done as efficiently as it can. And we're all looking forward to a successful completion.
It might be useful just to flip to the map, which I think is after the thank you.
Yeah, that would have helped when I was talking about the corridor. That is the corridor right there and all the different projects that are being worked on. And it is, you know, roughly from that Elgin Toll Plaza all the way out to the Cherry Valley Interchange. We're doing a lot of crossroad bridges. We're not experiencing too many delays on them, actually. It's more the mainline contracts. We have 7 mainline contracts. We broke it up into 7 pieces. They all vary in size. All these contracts are unique too. They're all doing roughly the same type of work, but they all have rough different conditions. Some have interchanges. Some have, you know, the really bad soils near the Kishwaukee River. Others are not, you know, experiencing as many soil problems. The delays are varying too by the individual mainline contracts. Some of them are very close to being on schedule right now, and not much is going to be required. And others have experienced further delays. Okay, so item 1 has nothing to do with what I just talked about, but it kind of does refer back to what Greg presented on the maintenance facilities. This is that initial contract. We really want to get this work started. It's some advanced utility work. This utility work will be necessary to be done before we proceed with the building itself. So we have a very aggressive schedule on this. We want to bring it to the board actually next week. And the bids, we're giving them as much time as we can to put their bids together, so the bid opening is not going to be until April 22nd.
So I have one deferred to the full board.
Correct. So moving on to item 2. This is a construction contract award. We need it to perform some building, residential, and commercial board-up services and demolition. It's going to be associated with the Elgin O'Hare Western Access Corridor. We received 3 bids on this contract. Fox Excavating is the low bidder at $2,328,180. This is a small business set-aside contract, and I believe all these bidders on this job are new to the tollway, and we know that the low bidder is going to be a new firm. For the tollway, this will be the first time working on it.
And so when we do that small business set aside, there's no goals, right, on the diversity side? We won't do that. Okay.
Yeah, they have to meet a different criteria, which I believe is...
The small set aside business criteria, 10 million threshold, be an Illinois business.
And we're comfortable that this was a little over the engineer's estimate?
Yeah, it's over the engineer's estimate. We felt that it was still a reasonable and acceptable bid. We noticed that, you know, we did have 2 submit a bid, and the other one was even a little bit higher. We want to get this work going. This work is going to be spread out over 2.5 years, so maybe that wasn't fully appreciated in the putting the estimate together. We think they're going to roughly work on about 10 properties. It is a small business contract also, And I know the chair has asked about, you know, the study of the engineer's estimate versus, you know, our award amounts. And we have those results, and I think we're going to forward them on to you. But the general high-level results of what we found when we went back and analyzed from, like, January 2013 until now is that our engineer's estimate have averaged over that time frame 10% under the award amounts. On this board items I have today, we're like 0.7% difference between award amount and engineer's estimate. We noticed that on the bigger jobs, the engineer estimate is very much closer to the bid amount, and on the smaller contracts, the variance is greater. So I think, you know, we could attribute some of this to getting on the learning curve and being able to do more accurate engineer's estimates for small contracts.
Thank you.
The scope of work includes the environmental testing. Is that going to be phase one on the properties?
The testing, I believe they're referring to is
soil boring?
Asbestos.
Asbestos.
Because it's buildings. You don't know for sure if, you know, they had asbestos in them or not. So any building demo contract usually comes along with some scope of work to do this asbestos.
So is there a contingency with this if they find the asbestos then?
We have line items in the contract to address it. So I don't know if we are treating it as a contingency. I think we just have line items in there.
As meaning bid amounts.
Yes.
So we know what we would pay if there was the need to do further mitigation.
And if it turns out we don't do any or we do less, then I'm sure we'll be you know, getting credits on that.
Okay.
All right. Item number four. Is a construction contract award for various repairs and improvements. This is on I-90 from the Cherry Valley Interchange north to the end of our system near Wisconsin. This contract, we only got one bidder on it, and it's in the far western portion of our system where we sometimes struggle to get a lot of competition and a lot of bids for our work out there. And they have a pretty significant DBE waiver request in, which is still under evaluation. So I'm going to ask to defer this to the board meeting if we can complete our analysis. If Paul, not, we may be removing it completely.
Is that item number three?
You said yes.
Four.
Item so number three.
I've got three and four. I got three being deferred to a future meeting and four being deferred to the April board meeting.
You were talking about item three, though.
I was talking about item three.
Yeah, you said four.
Sorry. Okay. I'm sorry, Director. It's item three, it's contract 4175, and it's with William Charles Construction Company. And it's, we need to still do some work on this to evaluate the DBE waiver request. Now item four, okay. This one, we opened bids on this. I believe it was 2 days ago. Item four is a construction contract. This is for doing sign structure improvements. All these locations are on the Tri-State Tollway. What we want to do, and what this contract is mainly going to do, is implement our upgraded sign standard and also introduce exit numbering. If you've noticed, the tollway does not have exit numbers on all of its overhead signs. And we're in the process of making sure that that gets done system-wide. We did not receive a bid that was very close to our engineer's estimate. We have evaluated that, and we also got one bidder on this contract. So a couple things occurred in the development of this contract. And as I mentioned, we want to do more of these. We want to do them throughout the system. So I think we're learning. But the two things that happened was our guide for developing the sign standards, the MUTCD manual on uniform traffic control devices, they implemented new standards for signs.
At the federal level, though.
At the federal level.
We say our guide, but this isn't something we produce. This is the federal guide that we follow.
Yes. The signs are getting bigger. So that's working against us.
Because we're getting
bigger. Yeah.
Bigger.
The second thing is, the ASHTO standard for the structural components of these signs, the actual cantilever sign structure that supports the signs, they increased their criteria, and it increased the sizes of the structures, and it actually is modifying how these structures are going to get built. Whereas before, you could get away with a smaller piece of equipment, just on the shoulder of the road with the shoulder closure, drill a hole, put the sign in. Now it's probably going to require some additional lane closures. So we definitely learned from the contractors on this bid that, you know, it is going to cost us more to implement this new sign standard and meet this new structural criteria. We did follow up with other plan holders, and most of the plan holders said that, you know, because of the modifications that we did, it increased the size of this contract too large that they didn't feel comfortable bidding on it.
Meaning they couldn't fulfill the size of the cost, or they figured they were going to be so much over the engineer's estimate that they would be out of the ballpark?
I think it was just going up from like the $5 to $7 million level to the $9 to $11 million.
They just didn't have the capacity.
Correct. And we do have a schedule. We wanted to get this work done this year. We wanted to implement these signs, these new signs on the Tri-State Tollway this year. I think if we move forward with this type of contract on other portions of our system where we're doing these upgrades, we're probably going to be making it a much smaller project area.
How many signs does this affect, you think, overall?
You know, I don't know if I know exactly how many signs are going to be done in this contract.
We can follow up with that, though, and confirm how many. Yeah.
I know they're all along the Tri-State. We know this is on the portion of the Tri-State where I believe we've already done the widening and reconstruction. Between milepost 0 and 52 3/4, and then also along the Eden Spur, or along I-94 from 0 to 30. So it's a pretty significant, it's 80 miles worth.
We'll get back with the number of signs. So.
Next to me, I was just curious on that.
Item 5 is a construction contract award. This is for various repairs along our system. The biggest repair is we're going to be working on the interchange ramps at Grand Avenue on Tri-State Tollway at the north end. And we're also going to do some guardrail and canopy repairs and some parking lots along 294 and 355. Those canopy repairs and the parking lots we had advertised previously and did not get any bidders. So this is actually an example of where, you know, in order to get this work done, I have to include it in another contract. You know, the ramps at Grand Avenue, this is a portion of the system, you know, which could get impacted in the future. And, you know, if we proceed with the new 53 North extension, none of the work we're doing here is going to prohibit us modifying our tolling plans for the future at this interchange. None of this work here is going to prohibit. We had meetings back in 2005, actually, with Great America, and we talked about, you know, how to handle the traffic flow in this area in a better manner. And they actually, you know, were working with us, but eventually the village and Great America rejected this idea. We had discussed providing them just with a direct access ramp into their facility, since it generates so much traffic and there's so much traffic pouring into this interchange, it would have helped us out too. We're not prohibiting that concept from being implemented in the future. That's still going to be allowed to happen. But what I'm really excited about is that in the meantime, this contract is going to provide us with some additional capacity on that northbound to eastbound movement up at Great America. A lot of the people coming into Great America are coming from the south, traveling north on Tri-State. And we're actually going to build a barrier wall that separates these ramp lanes from the mainline traffic lanes. So the high-speed traffic will be separated from that traffic that is slowing down and stopping and waiting to get into this high-traffic facility.
Have those splashing signs and the...
We have those out there today.
Does it help improve safety in that? Because there was a major safety issue there for a while. There's some major accidents there.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we have those signs out there today. We have ramp queue detection technology implemented at this interchange today, and both of those concepts will be incorporated into the new project. So we don't plan on having that go away, and that has helped out. Those flashing lights come on when there is ramp queue traffic there to advise approaching traffic that there is going to be slowed or stopped traffic ahead. But I think the idea of actually building some additional ramp lane out there for people to queue up in, and then also separating them from the main line with this barrier wall, is going to even improve it more. So I know we got five bids on this contract. The low bidder was FH Passion S.M. Nielsen at $24,473,924.60. They're committing to meet our DB goal, and we'd like to move forward with this contract. So I move on to item six.
Yeah, when will this work commence?
I think the date is on that. We're shooting for a start date of June 24th. And we did a lot of coordination with IDOT on this. And we did a lot of coordination with Great America on this.
Okay.
So we're actually timed and scheduled the work on the ramps that are going to impact the Great America traffic to occur, you know, prior to the peak seasons. So actually that did spread this work out over a couple years. So we're not going to complete it until next May. But that was a direct result of the coordination we've done with that. IDOT, they don't have any further improvements that they have planned in the near term for Grand Avenue. And the structure that's over the Tri-State Tollway here is actually one that we had to rebuild and widen when we rebuilt and widened the Tri-State Tollway back in 2008. Yes.
The state, like
yeah, so we're not planning on touching the bridge.
Will this widen any of the ramps or at all for storage or staging?
Especially
the
it will on that northbound
the
exit.
The northbound one will be expanded. Okay. Thanks.
So item six is a construction contract. This is for reconstruction and widening of the Fox River Bridge on the Jane Addams Memorial Tollway. We received five bids on this contract, and the Kenny Kramer Joint Venture is the low bidder at $75,412,944.69. They've committed to meeting our DD goal. This is one of those larger contracts that we informed the board about that could be in the $100 million range. So we're happy to see it's coming in at 75. This is within our budget. They are going to also plan to meet our DB goal.
Can you talk a little bit about the special credit so that people understand what that means? It's just a different way of building it,
yes.
Correct? That was offered, and we gave a consistent credit across all bids.
So in this contract, we didn't want to dictate how the contractor was going to build this bridge, but we wanted to engage them. Because we know there are some new bridge building techniques that can actually be accomplished efficiently and result in a better end product. And one of the key aspects is, you know, when we originally designed this structure, and there is a full design package included in this contract, we designed it with three longitudinal joints. So these joints run the whole length of the structure. And we felt we needed those three joints in order to maintain our traffic out there, keep the same number of lanes open during construction, and give them room to build it. But we also included a full bid option for the contractors if they had an innovative way of building the deck that we might not necessarily know about. That would accomplish the same thing from a maintenance traffic perspective, keep all the same lanes open during construction, but eliminate these longitudinal joints down from three to one. And that is actually what the low bidder came up with. We assigned a value of what that would mean to us, and the value was $2.2 million. We actually think it means more to us than $2.2 million, but that's the credit that we were willing to give the contractor for implementing this process. And the low bidder actually did bid that alternate construction method, and I see the second low did not. And you see the difference between the second low and the first low is only $1 million. So really, we're getting like a $2.2 million benefit for $1 million. I think it's fantastic that we're able to take advantage of this opportunity. They're going to use a gantry-type system. So they have a special piece of equipment that allows them to actually move the beams into place in a more efficient manner, and they won't need as many stages, which means they won't need as many joints in the structure. And actually, in the alternate construction process, we eliminated all the materials for these extra joints, and just those materials by themselves were $3 million. So all around, I think you know, we've got good bids here, and we're actually getting exactly what we want.
So as you remember, last year we went to great lengths on the flyover ramps at 294.90, right? Maybe even the year before. We actually closed down those bridges in order to avoid these joints, because we know that that's the point of weakness and, you know, a place where it is, we're prone to have more repair or, you know, earlier pavement issues than if we don't have them at all. So I think this was a kind of exciting and innovative way of approaching it, and we let the contractors be innovative, and they've come up with something that I think is going to save us a lot of effort. So. I just want to thank engineering for being creative on this.
You know, some of the other key concepts which are included in this structure, the existing structure was 15 spans, so it had 15 piers, and actually 6 of those piers were in the water. The new structure is only going to have 8 spans, and only 3 spans are going to be over the water. So we're definitely making it more environmentally friendly. The beams that they're going to use, and the reason why you need a special construction technique, they're 90-inch concrete beams. So this is definitely, you know, very large beams that they're going to use to span the river. And that actually gives us the ability to span more of the ground underneath. So we're excited about that, too. I think that is going to greatly reduce our maintenance costs for the structure over its life for the next 50 years. We had many repair contracts on this substructure over the past few years, which I remember very well, where they had to go out and they had to repair, you know, these 30 piers, and they were in bad shape. So I think the idea of eliminating these joints, so there'll be less opportunity for the deck to wear out, and also minimizing the number of spans and the number of piers, is going to result in an excellent structure for that's going to serve the tollway for a long time. Well,
does the height increase on the bridge, or
no,
the
same height? Not much difference in the elevation.
Gotcha.
So we'll make sure that we take photographs during construction and come back and show you what a 90-inch concrete beam looks like.
I hear the word, but
it's big.
I can't
just
imagine.
Rest assured that it is very large.
And the difference between going from X number of piers to Y number of piers.
I'm 72. Well, I like to think I'm 72 inches. The doctor measured me at 71.
Change doctor.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're happy to move forward with that. The next three items are actually what I addressed in the presentation, where we talked about this modified approach to getting the pavement constructed. It's going to save us time. And we believe money in the long run. So the first one, item 7, is a change order extra work order, requesting funding in amount not to exceed $1,116,638.98. It's on contract 4133 to Kern Contracting Company.
So this is, we're comfortable with this number, right? It notes under review, but I think that's just a holdover from.
It is. It's finalized now. And we have a commitment from all the contractors that they're going to, even though they're at the beginning of their projects and we're including this extra work, they're going to continue to meet our DB goal. Item 8 is similar. It's a change order extra work order to authorize payment in the amount of $296,748.70. It's signed contract 4115 to Floaty Construction. They are going to implement the alternate pavement construction option, so it's going to allow us to build it faster and insulate us against bad weather and wet weather. Item 9, similarly, change order extra work order to authorize payment in amount of $588,238.45, signed contract 4124 to Floaty Construction for alternate pavement construction option. So the only variance in the prices here is because these project lengths are different. So the first contract that I talked about is a very long section, and then the other two are smaller sections. And we're basically paying for the additional filter fabric or geogrid. Were there any questions on those? Okay, item 10 is a request for partial release of retainage and a reduction in retainage to $50,000. This is on construction contract 4000 with Floaty. This is for their work that we're going to close out this contract. Hopefully we can bring it to the board next month. It's the new interchange that they built at 90 and 47. So they have to finalize some of their documentation yet, provide us with their warranties and some of the record drawings and certifications. They are showing a DV shortfall right now. We believe that is going to be corrected once all the final payments are processed. So we did confirm that. I think I show a projected adjusted amount that's higher than the award amount, but we think that number is going to actually come down too and be very, very close to what the budgeted amount was, which was $37.4 million. So item 11 is a partial release of retainage and a reduction in retainage to $66,325.33. It's on contract 5666 with FH Passion SM Nielsen. This is for some internet and pavement repair work they did for us on Reagan Memorial Tollway. And once again, they're showing a shortfall right now, but we've confirmed with our folks and also with Diversity that when final payments and everything are settled and processed, we're going to be right on target. And then item 12 is a DiBenedetto for the Elgin O'Hare Western Access Project, where we are seeking to amend previous resolutions to add some parcels, and typically we defer these to the full board for consideration. So item 12 will be deferred until next week.
Okay, thanks, Paul. Any questions regarding any of the items discussed? Okay. Being done, seek approval for item 1 is going to be deferred to the board. Item 2, I have a motion group. Well, I guess we'll take item 3 and 4 are going to be deferred also. Let's see.
Item 3 is going to be deferred. I believe we can take action on item 4.
Item 4, we can't take action?
Yes.
I've deferred to the meeting. Okay.
On the agenda, we listed item 4.
Right.
The price was listed as TBD, but we have consulted with our legal counsel, and we did evaluate this. We did get time to include the numbers on the agenda, so if it can move forward, or if the board has the desire to move it forward, we'd like it to.
Okay. All right. Let's take item 2 first. So I have a motion to approve item 2 under engineering.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Opposition passes. Moves to the full board. Item 3 is deferred. Item 4, any objections to taking item 4 now or deferring to the full board?
There's a number in there. So.
You're good with that? Okay. Yes. Do I hear a motion to approve item 4?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Move to the full board. Any objections to taking items 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11 together? If not, do I hear a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes, moves to the full board consent agenda, and item 12 will be discussed at the board meeting in executive session. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you.
Legal.
Thanks, Director. Good morning again. We have four IGAs to present to the board. Number one is an IGA with Spring Township and Spring Township Road District. The board has seen these frequently in recent months. This has bridges coming over I-90. In this case, we're talking about two bridges, Johnson Road and Shattuck Road out near Belvedere. And per standard procedure, the tollway assumes all the reconstruction activity with some maintenance ongoing obligation assumed, in this case by Spring and its road district. And we're grateful for that. That has not been a situation that's occurred with these bridges in their prior existence, so we're glad to have that sort of partnership and collaboration going on. That is item one. Item two is an IGA with Boone County, City of Belvedere, and Flora Township. The board and the agency have been dealing with this general situation for the Irene Road interchange for some time. We have a series of MOUs and agreements dating back 2006 with subsequent amendments to 7, 9, and 13. This board will recall in February of 2013, we dealt with the eastbound activity of this interchange. We are now flipping attention in this agreement to some westbound ramps. Under this arrangement, we will have the county and the city doing the phase one environmental engineering, splitting those costs. The county and the city will also do some land acquisition, which will then be contributed into the overall project. The tollway will take it from there to the final design and the design and construction. You'll see in our summary, we indicate that the amount of work all in as far as land acquisition, engineering, and final construction for these permanent westbound ramps, $6.5 million. Of course, this agreement does not commit the tollway to any spend of money. Those will all be dealt with in actual construction contracts that Paul will bring.
So the county and city will share equally
in their various activities of their engineering and their land acquisition.
And then as far as, because this is in Paul's I-90 corridor construction, we'll be able to utilize that area during a construction, utilize that Irene Road for, there won't be any conflict there?
We will, and in fact, this land acquisition that they're willing to do at this phase and then ultimately transfer title to the tollway, as I understand it, Paul, is very, very helpful in getting us earlier access than we might otherwise get.
That's the way I understand it, too. I know Rocco's here.
We've done this on the southeast quadrant of the same area they acquired the land. We've got a timeline in there by which we want to have them acquire the land so we can start using it right now for staging storage material.
Okay.
What allows us to do that at the end of construction, we can restore the site, so it's a very efficient and easy for us to build a new ramp on to get that out. So we'll let, so
that sounds good. Thank you.
Thanks, Rocco. Item three, the board has seen teed up, and we've needed to wait to get our partner on this one, DuPage County Forest Preserve, ready to execute, and they've indicated they are now. This is simply the purchase of some mitigation credits that will help the tollway achieve U.S. Army Corps of Engineer permitting requirement as part of the Elgin O'Hare work. This will be a straight commitment by the tollway of $2 million, essentially purchasing, essentially helping the DuPage County Forest Preserve in their restoration of the site they have, which is known as the St. James Farm Springbrook Number 1 Creek. And this agreement includes one of my favorite words. We will be re-meandering a half-mile channel and doing other work in the stream, including the elevation of the stream beds and shoreline restoration. The work will all be conducted performed by DuPage in close collaboration with our folks, and we will pay, as we are invoiced for this work, up to $2 million.
So I know you're all interested in this. One of our daughters dropped out of college to join AmeriCorps to re-meander rivers where the salmon were spawning, so it's not an unimportant, she would tell you. Her parents were a little aghast, but she got back on track after she re-meandered for a while.
It's the first time I've seen that word yet. We could also rename the agreement in her honor.
No, I don't think so. We're not encouraging that behavior.
Number four, we are...
Counselor, here, quick question. After the restoration of the site, is there any ongoing perpetuity of the tollway's responsibility to maintain? Or
there is not. Once we've finished our financial work, then the tollway is
done. Thank you.
That's correct. Number four is teed up as a potential, but it is not the topic we're going to be proceeding with. Number five, which I believe was listed as five on your agenda, This is an IGA, essentially amending, an IGA of the Village of Hoffman Estates that this board authorized back in May of 2013. Paul will say it better than me, but essentially there's an engineering reason to expedite the park and ride facility at the Barrington Road interchange. There's a smallish, relatively speaking, engineering cost associated with that of $66,000, with the tollway deemed to believe in its best interest to assume. And Paul, you may want to say one additional piece on that.
Yeah, and I think, once again, like the Irene Road project, this is going to allow us to take advantage of it during the construction phase and have it serve two purposes then. So it is getting us into the property sooner, and it's giving us access. And I don't know, Rocco, do we have any other thing you want to add on that?
Yeah, just a clarification. Basically what these are shoot-off ramps coming off of our new ramps that we're building as part of the Barrington Road Interchange project. During construction, we use them for basically staging construction for maintenance of traffic through the construction zone. When construction is complete, they will be used by PACE to access these ramps. But then they also provide access to maintain our toll plaza facilities at this ramp as well. So there's a dual purpose. The work is associated with our mainline work, so we thought that's an easy to add to the existing contract that we have for the interchange. But it's our use initially. Then when we're done with it, it'll be mostly PACE, but we'll still use it for maintenance purposes.
Number six, Director, is a workers' comp settlement we had on the agenda. Do you think it'll be finalized for discussion next week, the full board starting in executive?
Thank you.
That is our rundown. Yes, thank you. Okay. So it's 1, 2, 3, and 5.
Any further questions? Any objections to taking those items together? There being none, under legal, we'll hear motion to approve for items 1, 2, 3, and 5. Items 4 and 6 will be deferred to the full board. So motion approved. Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Moves to the full board consent agenda.
Just one thing, Director. I'm not certain that 4 was to go to the full board. We're going to continue to assess how that was coming.
Okay. Thank you. Any unfinished business? Any new business?
I'm sorry, there was one thing that I wanted to mention that will be coming to the board as an emergency contract next month, likely, but we will have already done the work by then. You should have received a note on this, but just to make sure, M1, which you saw earlier when Greg was doing his presentation, while everybody, and we all did, I think our maintenance section did a great job with snow removal this past season. One of the casualties of our snow program was some of the salt dome, on at M1, where a truck hit it. I think hit the entrance and caused some damage that we're going to need to repair sooner rather than later to make sure that it, can be structurally sound. So not a huge issue, but just I wanted to bring it to your attention because by the time that contract comes to board next month, as an emergency. The work hopefully will already be either completed or substantially completed.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks for the update.
Sorry.
No need for executive session. Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
So
second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. We are now adjourned. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Yes.